Hey, it's time for Focus on Photography. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about the holidays. We're going to talk a little bit about some film, and we're going to get into your feedback. Check it out.
Podcasts you love
from people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Focus on Photography, Episode 5, recorded Thursday, November 21st, 2019. Show it and own it. Hey, everybody. I am Ant Pruitt. This is Focus on Photography on TWiT.tv, coming to you live each and every Thursday at about 9 a.m.-ish Pacific time here in Petaluma, California, with my main man, Mr. Wools, Michael Woozy. How you doing, brother?
Good, sir. How you doing?
I am unbelievable as always. We are here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed doing our thing, and our wonderful engineers are all over there just scratching the boogers out of their eyes.
Oh, man.
Trying to get rolling and help us sound good and look good. I really appreciate them showing up nice and early for us. But this is the podcast where we get together every week, just couple creators hanging out around some mics, where we talk about a little bit of the photography related news, photography related rumors, and listener feedback, and just everyday stuff as a, you know, working content creator, and just get into the ins and outs and share some tips and tricks and a little bit of insight for people that are interested and, heck, probably aspiring to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we keep it loose and we try to have some guests here and there and just chit chat.
It's a wonderful, wonderful format.
Yes, yes. Glad you think so, man. I love you. All right. So, let's go ahead and get into it. Last week, we ran a little bit long, but it was okay because it was a great chat with Mr. Steve Brazel, an outstanding live concert photographer. If you haven't checked that out, go on back, check out episode 4, Focus on Photography with Mr. Steve Brazel.
Brilliant, brilliant work.
Great discussion. And it was funny watching you talk to him and seeing the reactions on your face with some of his answers, because especially when we got into the tech stuff, the IT stuff.
IT-ish is where that came from, right?
So much fun. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this week's stuff here. First and foremost, I know you have grown into smartphone photography. You like most of us, we can see that smartphones are really, really stepping their game up and allowing quote unquote regular people to go out and take some really good photographs. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have to always understand the exposure triangle, because it has computational photography built in that can just literally point and shoot it, and it'll create a very nice image,
right?
For the most part,
right?
Anyway. What do you think about the idea of a 108 megapixel?
I can't wrap my head around that. I mean, that is insane. But I would imagine it makes an extremely beautiful image.
Oh boy, oh boy. Well, our folks over in China, Xiaomi, has the Xiaomi Mi Note 10. This is a 108 megapixel smartphone camera. Actually, is more than one camera lens on there. It's got about four lenses. If I could pull up my link here,
I think it's five.
But it has an array of lenses on there, and you're going to get what they call a 108 megapixel mode,
mm-hmm,
versus having the standard shots. You can have a regular wide shot and a standard portrait telephoto shot, like any of the other smartphones out there. But they get you with this 108 megapixels because it's still computational,
mm-hmm,
and it's allowing you to have a little more sharpness in your images. But there's a caveat with that. So if you have a, let's just say from a wide angle lens standpoint,
mm-hmm,
when you're out shooting wide angle lenses, you as a photographer that's doing this every single day, you understand that the edges of that frame,
right,
is going to either warp,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to get a little bit soft on the clarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now with this 108 megapixels, you'd assume you'd be able to combat that, right?
Right.
Nope.
Yeah, well, it's the lens.
Not this time.
Yeah.
So even with all of this extra crispiness and extra resolution, the center of the image looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But as you start to go away to the edges of the frame, it starts to fade out. pricing on it. How much was this thing? It wasn't an expensive phone, unlike the Pixel and the iPhone. Uh-huh. But I thought it was a pretty nice price. I want to say it was around 500. Yep, 500 bucks. That's not bad for a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the way this is being marketed is the whole big megapixel number. Now, you and I both know that it's not about megapixels on these things.
Right.
And then when you're talking about 100 megapixels on a sensor that's less than half an inch in size, mm-hmm. There's not going to be any benefit, right? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, went on vacation a couple years ago, and I forgot my camera. And what I did was I actually used my cell phone to the iPhone.
Right.
And used that as a as the camera.
Right.
It's only a tool, right?
Right. That's it. It's only a tool.
Only a tool. And I think what I found was that it was absolutely okay just to have that lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just the way that you work with the tool.
Right.
In order to make your compositions.
Right.
It's not going to make a great image. You're going to make the great image.
Right.
It's only helping you. But I would imagine that the clarity is going to be phenomenal within this.
Well, at least it looked like it. Marques Brownlee, he's one of the most popular YouTubers out there, MKBHD. Mm-hmm. Everybody that watches the Twit Network knows who MKBHD is. He got his hands on it. And his video demoed a lot of the different shots that you can get with it. Mm. And again, it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But him being the type of person that he is, he's all about crispy images
right.
and shooting in 8K. And mm-hmm. so he loves his pixels.
Right.
But he looked at it and noticed, hey, there's something not quite right here. And he pointed it straight out. Look, this looks great. The contrast is a little bit better on mm-hmm. this image. But as you fade away from your subject,
mm-hmm.
it starts to break down.
Okay, I guess pixely, right?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It starts to break down. Now, me personally, I'm thinking
that drives me crazy.
It's a smartphone. It's got a tiny sensor.
Mm-hmm.
It has a tiny lens. That's going to happen 9 times out of 10 anyway,
right? Well, if you have like a wonderful real camera.
Right. That's the difference.
Uh-huh.
That's the difference. For the tech nerds that enjoy all of the tech specs here for on the Twit Network, the Mi 10 CC9 Pro will go on sale for $400 for the 6 gig and 128 gigs of storage. And then it jumps up to $440 for the 8 gigs of RAM. And then it jumps up to $500 if you get 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage. It's
what is the file size of it? Like you take a photograph, what's
you're
going to
get
size?
20 megabyte files when you take something like that. 20 megabyte files when you snap the actual 108 megapixel mode.
You better start deleting.
Yeah, but
there's images that don't work.
I'd be curious to try it out, but that would be about it.
I
don't know if I would just buy into it and just use it as a daily driver, if you will. I think that's overkill, and I especially don't think it's going to help anything.
Right. You take a look at the medium format cameras,
mm-hmm.
Like the Hasselblad with the 61. Well, actually, Sony.
Yeah.
The 4.
Yep.
61
megapixels.
And actually at 41 megapixels, you still get a beautiful,
right.
amazing image.
It's a little bit of overkill.
Yeah, so
a little
I
bit
think
overkill.
Size don't matter
no,
in this situation.
No, it don't. It don't. And then another thing, going back to that Sony, because Mr. Laporte has one, and, mm-hmm. and he's used it here and there in the studio, you start watching how fast it is to write it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, so it's you have all of that data being written to that card, and if you're waiting on it, you're going to miss a shot here.
Right.
So I don't know. I'd still like to try it out, but I don't know if I would necessarily use it as a spray high speed shot, you know, something more methodical with it, you know, like street photography, mm-hmm. something like that.
Right. But you take a look at the older, we're going back to film. You mm-hmm. take a look at the 400, Kodak 4 Max, whatever.
Yep.
400 Max. And you take a look at the grain and whatnot, there's beauty in that. So what you don't need to have...
Oh,
like,
you film guys.
Well, no, you don't need to have like this beautiful, like very, very crisp thing all the time. I'm just saying.
No, I get that. I respect that. Every person that I know that shoots film, they always say that. They say that there's something about having the right amount of grain.
Right.
Especially with black and white, especially with, say, like wedding scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just really sets a mood with it. Have at it. I'd rather have it a little bit more clean.
I'm not saying I don't like clean. I'm just saying that there's times when those things do matter.
That's just me. All right. So we're going to move right along. There was another story that I forgot to add to our rundown this week, so I'm just totally surprising you with this on live air. So don't judge me.
No.
At least judge me after we get off air.
Okay.
That's fine. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw on Petapixel there was a New York City hyperlapse that was created using over 1,000 different images. Okay, so a hyperlapse, for people that don't know, think of a time lapse. Time lapse is a sequence of photographs that are stitched together to make a video. You know, you'll see a time lapse of just the day passing. You could see the sun rising and setting, mm-hmm. or what have you. And that's just a bunch of different images that are stitched together. Hyperlapse, on the other hand, is the same concept, but it moves. The frame actually moves. A lot of times it'll move in depth or move towards you, but there's always some type of movement, mm-hmm. with a hyperlapse. So let's think about New York City, the Big Apple, if you will. There was a photographer here, Sam Morrison, decided to put together a hyperlapse of over 1,200 images, but he didn't shoot these images himself. They're all crowdsourced and grabbed from Instagram.
That's brilliant.
So
I mean, that's really brilliant.
So he took the time to go into Instagram and just search New York City, if you will, because it's really easy to search for different subject matter inside of Instagram, and just started downloading pictures for, you know, the touristy sections of New York City. You have Brooklyn Bridge, you have, say, Fifth Avenue or what have you, with people walking in the cabs, the Statue of Liberty, all mm-hmm. of the iconic spots. And he went through and spent well over 200 hours of work putting this together.
I saw it. And it's really quite brilliant.
When you look at the video, it's not your typical hyperlapse, because the frame of the video isn't like a standard 16:9 aspect ratio, uh-huh. because everybody didn't shoot, you know, a wide landscape image. Mm-hmm. Some people shot in a portrait orientation. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a perfect frame, if you will. But the gist of it and the concept of it, outstanding.
Oh, it really is a wonderful piece.
Do you get to spend time shooting time lapse or hyperlapse?
Half with video.
Mm-hmm.
When we were doing a commercial in Florida, we actually did a time lapse of the clouds coming in.
Right.
And so that was, but nothing like what I just saw here. but it works really well. As a matter of fact, you'll see a couple of the shows have time lapse clouds coming in,
mm-hmm.
and it's really quite beautiful and
sets the mood.
Cityscape,
right?
And it's just it's a really nice way to move. Sometimes
a lot of times you see a time lapse from a film standpoint, it's more like of a transitional part of mm-hmm. the film, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at the beginning,
right?
I can't remember which one it is, but there's a couple of shows on Netflix that have.
Oh yeah, House of Cards. I love how House of Cards starts. It's all time lapse, mm-hmm. and just watching how everything is so smooth.
Cityscape is really nice. Yeah,
man, goodness, I like shooting time lapse. I haven't done it in a little while, and I've shot a hyperlapse. I remember trying to learn how to do a hyperlapse years ago. Boy, is that frustrating!
You know, the Sony 4 actually has a time lapse program in it
already built in. Just set it up and lock it off, and boom!
Oh gosh,
yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's very, very nice.
The hyperlapse, I wanted to try it out because again, you get that movement mm-hmm. in the frame, and I thought that would be a little more engaging. And so I got my tripod out, got the camera, and figured out where I wanted to shoot. And when I rendered it, it was horrible.
Yeah,
you got to be so precise mm-hmm. on the movement and understanding, you know, this many steps, or, you know, don't go to the left by an inch, or
mm-hmm.
it was rough.
Yeah, it's tough, and especially when you're in post.
Yeah, it was so bad. Now
I would not have wanted to be your editor.
I did one with my drone last year or year before last, and that came out a lot better because the drone has the GPS lock,
mm-hmm.
so you can really help keep steady on your shot or whatever. And I literally just put it up in the air and just hit the shutter every like 3 seconds.
Oh, that's very cool.
You know, so I would tell it to take off mm-hmm. and had it go down this particular street or whatever. I think it was a street. Yeah. Went down the street and I told it to just stay at about 2 miles an hour. So it's going really slow.
How cool is that?
And just snapped it, you know, every 2 or 3 seconds. Uh-huh. And it was a lot of photographs. But by the time I got it in the post, it was so much easier.
Oh, I would
so
love to see smoother. That.
I'll put a link to it in our show notes.
Please. And, I'd love to we'll see link how to you
the,
did that.
We'll link to Mr. Sam Morrison's work here from Petapixel 2 in the show notes, too. But I thought this was one of the most creative mm-hmm. things that I've seen where you crowdsource this many images. Just, can I borrow this? Yeah, thank
you. What was interesting is actually in Times Square where the taxi cabs.
Yeah.
Is,
none of the taxi cabs look alike.
No, but it was interesting. But it just was, I can't imagine how many photographs
right.
he had to go through in order to get that.
Right. 200 hours.
Really, really, really cool.
200 hours. I don't know if I'm that patient. Are you?
I have other things to do.
Well said. Well said.
Although as an art piece, it's really quite wonderful.
Yeah.
I would love to see that in a kind of like an exhibition
right.
format.
Right.
And have it on the screens and kind of Brooklyn Bridge, the towers. And
oh, gosh. Yeah. And that's another thing with it being crowdsourced. Again, we talked about the frames being, you know, off kilter here and there. Mm-hmm. But you have to think about the color.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody didn't shoot at the same time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody didn't shoot with the same camera. So they're going to have different white balance. Because mm-hmm. if you put an iPhone image up next to a Pixel 4 image, it's totally different from mm-hmm. a temperature standpoint.
I wonder if you actually kind of focused on one day, particular day for that particular shot.
Possible.
And then found those images from that day.
That's possible.
It'd
yeah.
be easier.
Because that makes a difference, too. At least you have consistent weather.
Right.
Nice. All right. So let's move on. We'll look at one more topic here before we get into a little bit of feedback. And, man,
I would not do it.
This. He's already told me no. So this week is going to be our last episode and before the holiday season. Here in the U.S., we celebrate Thanksgiving holiday next Thursday. So we won't be recording next Thursday. So I wanted to get into the holiday and, heck, just any particular family gathering in general. So let's think about Thanksgiving holiday, Christmas, whatever. Everybody comes in from out of town to go to mom's house or grandma's house or whatever. All of the extended family shows up, and they know Wools is
my
a
hand
photographer.
Is sweating, thinking about
they know Wools is a photographer, and they say, "Hey, Wools, bring your camera, will you? Will you? Will you bring your camera to the dinner?" What is your answer?
No,
no. You didn't even think about it.
I probably would have brought it anyways without them asking. But if they ask, that means that they want you to do like the total. But this article,
but you're a photographer. Why wouldn't you want to take photographs? Come on, man.
I do like taking photographs.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I think yes, but it just changes. I don't know what happens, but in my mind, all of a sudden things change and there's some expectation.
Oh, okay.
And that you have to create something for them to have something to remember or whatever. But I don't think it's even that. It's just this kind of goes into like somebody asking you for a favor.
Okay.
But all of a sudden that favor turns into a full day shoot. And
right.
then
the whole day.
And then the editing part is
that's
maybe
more,
more than the shoot. So I don't know. It's in reading this article how they wanted to have family portraits, have like the photograph the turkey for a blog.
Right.
It's like, oh my God. So what's happening with my Thanksgiving? I want to eat that turkey.
So you're sitting there working the whole time while everybody is enjoying the holiday.
And my meal is getting cold.
Oh, gosh. Whew, yeah, this one gives me chills a little bit, too. This is an article from fstoppers.com where essentially they're talking about the holiday season, and there's always that one photographer in the family, if not more, and they end up getting tasked with taking photos of the holiday. And what that tends to lead to is like Wu said, is you get in there and you take your few snapshots, if you will, you know, because you have an eye, you know how to take at least a good snapshot, and you go to sit your camera down and they're like, no, wait a minute, let's go ahead and try to get a picture of this too.
Right.
And you sit your camera down again. Nope. Hey, can you do this one next? Okay. All right. Done. And then the next thing you know, you're not even putting your camera down for the rest of the day because you're just sitting there shooting and trying to please everybody in the family, let alone you're forgetting that this is your day off.
Right. But I did, there was a, not, it wasn't a holiday, but it was a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to bring my camera and I was going to photograph a little bit anyways.
All right.
And the photographer took off after they cut the cake. And so
it was probably in his contract, right?
Probably. But so. The thing is, there was nobody photographing the dance or anything like that. It was just,
right.
So I had the best time. So I took out the camera, took out the flash, had off the camera,
right.
And did these movements, flash movements, where everything seemed to be very flowing.
Right.
That was a time when I felt like, okay, I could express myself with my camera for somebody for a beautiful day.
Right.
But to go to Thanksgiving or Christmas to photograph, being asked to photograph it, it was it just brought in a. It feels like they're saying that you can't participate, but you can participate.
All right, so let's look at this. Let me look at this. Oh man, I'm tangled up in my cord.
Oh, my family's not listening to this.
So let's look at this. Let's look at the wedding that you just spoke about. Now you saw the photographer was gone because. Mm. Again, it could have potentially been in their contract that they only had to shoot up until X amount of time and go on about their business. Mm. Happens all the time. You saw an opportunity to capture a moment. When you saw that opportunity, did you approach the party, the wedding party, or did you just say, right. You know what, I'm just going to sort of be a fly on the wall, that kind of thing? Was it like
that?
Well,
it was interesting. It's my cousin's daughter's wedding.
Okay.
This is in Minnesota. And I saw that there's these beautiful moments. Artistically, it was going to be brilliant.
Right.
The lights, I figured out how I could photograph it and take the, like I said, the flash off the,
yep.
And have it so that is a blur, like a moving photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I thought it's just perfect artistic moment. And so I just went ahead and they saw that I was capturing the dance and the first dance and all the way through I was celebrating with them. It was, I wasn't a fly on the wall.
Uh-huh.
I was actually in celebration. I was out there dancing with your camera in hand.
Right.
Doing the,
so they saw you out there. They saw your off camera flash over there and they just sort of gave you the nod and said, oh, cool.
They just loved it.
And they just, okay.
Yeah. But you have to, there's another wedding went to that, if it was a photographer and she had photographers there, but they were all there on just to be.
To work.
Yeah. No, not to work.
Actually. Oh, really? They were just there. Okay. Mm-hmm. As part of the ceremony.
Right. And that was fun because it became more of a celebration, more of a, as well as a, more of an artistic forum to kind of capture those moments. And that was fun too, because I was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not part of it.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, see, I asked that because this is why I am not a wedding photographer. Weddings are, that's a lot of pressure that I do not want.
I don't do weddings.
Yeah. and I salute the people that are wedding photographers. They have the gumption and the, testicular fortitude to do so. I don't.
And technically they're brilliant.
Yeah. Because when I see a wedding photographer, the first thought that comes to my mind is, boy, I better get this right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to be another chance.
Especially with the group portraits.
Right. You know, and I'm thinking, man, if you ruin that session, you've ruined someone's special day of their life.
So I have a story around that.
I don't want that. Oh boy.
No.
Story?
No. What it was is that during the, in San Francisco, I photographed a wedding.
Right.
And I was 24 hours I was shooting. I felt like that.
Yeah.
So I shot the day before and then the day. And I was so tired. So I came back home. I uploaded everything. I started looking at everything and everything was so blurry. I was
thinking,
oh my God, this can't be. And I was just like yelling, ah, no.
Oh no.
What it was, I was so tired, I just couldn't see. So I kind of like, almost like that, I prayed to God. Woke up the next morning and looked out, went back to it. Everything was crisp and clear, but it was just that my eyes were so God was there somewhere. It just said, I'll allow this moment for you. But I highly recommend... Just don't look at your images after you photograph for a full day.
This is when you know you're tired. You can't see.
I couldn't. It probably was going to be okay anyways, but
right.
My eye, I really like clarity.
Right.
If I don't have that clarity, that spot on eye clarity,
right.
It drives me crazy and I am not. I'm not happy. So thank God I woke up the next morning, had a plenty of sleep, and got my cup of coffee, went back to the monitor. Everything was just crisp.
Looked good.
It was very, very good. So,
oh, man. Yeah, that story could have gone a whole different direction.
Oh, my gosh. I swear to God. It was...
I've been in a similar situation where my family would want me to shoot this or that. And just like you said, it turns into you're spending most of your time clicking the shutter. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. We love clicking the shutter.
Oh, yeah.
But every now and then, I just want to sit down and have that whiskey and some turkey and just do me, mm-hmm. you know? And so I got to the point where I would shut those opportunities down. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm off today. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this today. And 9 times out of 10, they respect that, mm-hmm. fortunately, because I was just straight up about it. And then for those that would continue to ask me about it, I would send them a rate sheet.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just let's see just how serious you really are.
Right.
And of course, every single time I sent that rate sheet, it came back with, well, no, we'll just use our phones.
Oh.
And I'm like,
that's not cool.
So I'm like, so what was the point of you asking me if your phones are good enough?
Yeah.
You know, so you're already wanting to just use me up for my expertise anyway.
Yeah. I think that people's mindset sometimes is such that, you're just clicking, right?
All you're doing is clicking.
But I think there's so much more behind the finger looking at the object, whatever you're photographing or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But as well as there's a post production. So,
yep.
Anyways,
and a lot of people, especially when it comes to how much are you billing, and so listeners, take this to heart. Whatever your rate is, you own your rate. Don't feel bad about whatever you're going to charge. Own up to it. If you can look at your rate and look at your body of work and feel good with it, own it. Don't feel bad about it.
Agreed.
Okay. So a lot of clients or prospective clients will come at you about your rate and will want an explanation and so forth. You don't owe them an explanation. Just show them your body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of those prospective clients don't understand is you spent umpteen years to where you can get to that position that you're in now to charge that particular rate.
Mm-hmm.
You spent umpteen years going through Capture One or Photoshop or Lightroom. You spent umpteen years going through all of this, the minutiae settings inside of your camera to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And heck, if you were like me, you were experimenting with coffee mugs in your house on the coffee table to see what happens when you move the light over here or mm-hmm. change the aperture to this and things like that. You put a lot of time in and you're invested in that from a time standpoint as well as a dollar standpoint,
right.
Because you're paying for your software. You're paying for those lenses. You decided that you needed to spend $1,000 on this lens because this other lens just wasn't quite fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that took some expertise and experience that you had to learn to get to that level to where you can say, hey, this is my rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, if you're listening to this and you're just getting started, figure out your rate and own it. Don't back down from it. I don't care if it's family.
Right.
Own it.
However, there are projects sometimes that come up
mm-hmm.
that you want to kind of, for instance, if there's a organization that you want to grow with.
Right. Now, so, yeah, sometimes there are some freebie jobs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are some discount jobs. I get that.
Right. Mm-hmm. But also, I think, too, there's a mindset for me, my mindset is that if it's a project where I feel like I really could have a voice in it and say, that it looks really interesting
mm-hmm.
and you can make really interesting images and you just want to do it. Yeah. But there has to be an exchange. Of course, there has to be an exchange.
Right.
And so
sometimes you just want that opportunity. Your artistic eye is like, ooh, I'd love to shoot that.
Exactly right.
And you have to figure out, what is that going to cost me? Not necessarily meaning in dollars. Mm-hmm. It's just, what is it going to cost you? And what is it going to cost them for us allowing you to do it? And what is it? How's it going to benefit the both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm terrible in that situation.
So. No, don't get me wrong. I do believe in doing freebie gigs here and there. Mm-hmm. Because my good friend Vinny says this, and I believe it 100%. In your business, if you can't afford to do a free job here and there, it's probably something wrong. Mm-hmm. You need to rethink what's right. going on with the business. Mm-hmm. And so I'll do a lot of those free gigs here and there because it does nothing but help me out from my getting my hours in, mm-hmm. getting my experience in, and it also helps my brand. Mm-hmm. And then it also helps out the client too,
right.
you know?
And I feel that always that when you're doing something, I wouldn't call it free because there's always an exchange.
Yeah, there's always an exchange. My time at the edit bay or something, right. you know?
But I think too, is that if you could feel like you could really collaborate with these people, mm-hmm. the person you're working with, that to me is more fulfilling. Obviously, yeah, they're, an exchange is really good.
Yep.
However, if there could be a real creative collaboration, I am absolutely stoked about that.
Mm-hmm. And see, you can also build on that too. Mm-hmm. That'll build more opportunities down the road. About like how we talked about the Adobe Max conference. Mm-hmm. It's just that whole networking. And again, it's branding. It's branding. Building your brand up and growing out there. All right. That was interesting discussion. Thanksgiving is going to be different for me being here on the West Coast this time. My family is not going to be here, but I'm totally fine with that.
Who's going to cook the turkey?
And I'm the house cook.
Nice.
Period. I'm the house cook. It is what it is. Nothing against Queen Pruitt, but she knows she's not the best cook, and she just leans on me, and you know that's our partnership.
She listening to this right now?
Oh, she if she would she would step on the mic and tell you. would step on the mic and tell you, but that's how our relationship works. And yeah, so I'll be handling whatever the meal is. Heck, I'm probably just gonna do steak or something. Who knows? I won't. I'm kidding.
Okay,
kidding. Just kidding.
Some people do crab, although crab is not going to be here this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're having to. Anyways.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we definitely have to find out about that. All right, so moving right along, let's go ahead and before we get out of here, let's get into a little bit of feedback. I posed this on Twitter. Probably should have posed it a little bit sooner, but next time I'll do it a little bit sooner. But I posed a question out there. You know, if you have any questions for us, just shoot an email to fop@twit.tv. Or share it in the Twit community at twit.community in your browser. Or just tweet myself. Just tweet me, @_Pruitt, or tweet Wools @HeyWools with whatever your questions are. And this one, I wanted to lean this towards you because of your film background and just how passionate you are about film. Even though I doubt this person was leaning on the film side.
Mm.
But the question was, can you talk a little bit about reducing noise in photos while keeping as much detail as possible? Thanks, Ant. And that comes from Jeff Goldberg over on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, GINFLA. I believe that's how his handle is. But Jeff, thank you for the question. I know how I could handle noise, but I want to look at it from a digital perspective and look at it from a film perspective.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
So I want to start with you. From the film perspective.
Right.
Because we have film people that listen to our show and really do appreciate that the feedback we're getting from those people out there shooting with film, especially those medium format guys. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
I think it depends on the subject that you're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes noise is good, you know, the grain.
There he goes, folks.
Well, right? Yes, yeah. But it adds a nice characteristic to it.
Right.
Sometimes in digital, you go to presets, which actually have that type of grain well.
That's true.
That gives you a little bit more cinematic vibe to it.
That's true.
But when you're photographing, it's better to have as much information as possible so you can actually add the grain or a little bit of, not noise, but grain.
Grain.
I think the ISO is probably where you're going to get the most noise. If you go really high ISO, you're going to have more, it's going to have be more pixelated.
Okay, so let's say, let's take this scenario. Let's take downtown Petaluma on a, you know, dinner time, say 5-6 o'clock p.m. dinner time. And we have the town is actually lit up with all of the little torches and things, and people are outside dining and whatnot. And you're just wanting to capture that moment of someone having a nice meal. They ask you, hey, can you just capture this shot of us with your film camera on our
without flash
on our Valentine's Day? Well, let's add in a flash.
Oh, I can't do flash.
On our Valentine's Day. Okay, well, take away the flash. Jeez. Either way, we're going to have a lot of light around the table. Because they're having dinner, so you're going to have your table lit, and there's going to be a little bit of ambient light in the background from other tables there. But they wanted you to come in and take a shot of them on their anniversary or whatever, having dinner.
God.
So
I'm thinking light all the way around. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so now all you're thinking is, okay, I've got to figure out a way to reduce the noise in this composition. Go.
Well, the cameras actually right now can actually hold a really nice ISO and get less grain. So for instance, you look at Sony's, you could go pretty high in like 36 sometimes. I hate to go that high. I love to go in a place where you don't have that kind of grain, even as a hint of it. So I would do is actually find the ISO that actually matches the ratio of what the lens I'm using. So I'd probably open up wide open, 1.2 or 1.8 or 2.0.
Let's say 1.8.
Okay.
Aperture is what we're talking about, folks.
And actually, that's going to give you a shallow depth of field.
Yep.
And it's going to be really moody. So everything in the back, with the light sprinkling in the back, it's going to be really beautiful.
Yep. Softens them up.
Right. And so the person obviously has to have some kind of form of light in front of them. It could be like a candle that can actually light them up.
Yep.
Or it could be a reflection of a light coming onto them.
Yep.
And so I would actually just focus on that particular subject. Forget everything around it. Everything around it, that subject is going to be part of the story. But it's going to be very dramatic in regards to kind of the way it looks. I try to find my ISO that's not so high. Maybe shoot it a little bit under.
So when you say not so high, you're saying 3200 is too high?
No, it's not, actually. Okay. That would be fine with these cameras that you have right now, because it does hold its own very nicely.
Yep.
And sometimes in the post,
6400 is too high?
I rarely shoot that high.
I try
if anything, I just try to not go higher than what you were just saying, 3200. However, in posts, a lot of times, so in posts is where you could actually bring it up and really make some beautiful adjustments.
Yep.
So that's where you're going to kind of find yourself a little bit more clear, have a little bit, I say, room to be able to pump up the light and whatnot.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, we're about on the same wavelength here. If it were me, Mr. Goldberg, first thing I'm thinking about is where I'm shooting. Is it dark outside? Is it dark in the room? What is the subject matter? Just like Wool said. And if it's dark in general, I'm automatically thinking tripod, period. I do not want to shoot those handheld if I don't have to. Sometimes you can't take a tripod.
Right.
So there are going to be instances where you can't do it, but if you can,
monopods are good for that.
If you can take a monopod or a tripod, I would take advantage of that, because having a still shot automatically will help reduce that amount of noise that you're going to get in those low light situations.
Creatively, it's going to be beautiful though.
Here he goes.
I know. I was actually thinking of you with your, how you like to shoot low.
I like to shoot low. You're right.
So I almost would set the camera on the table and shoot up towards the subject. And you could get some really beautiful, especially if the light is
If the light's right.
You're right.
Right.
Bouncing off the glass and you have the back, the street lights in the back.
Yep.
It could be a really beautiful, dramatic piece.
Yep.
And some, And again, sometimes you want to do in post to have that grain. So you can find yourself a preset that could actually have that more of a, almost like a 50s, 40s type of vibe.
Right.
And I'm talking film again, but still.
No, that's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to get is the perspective of from film versus the perspective of a digital person.
Right.
And like I said, I think you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength with it. But yeah, I definitely want my camera to be still in those low light situations because I already know that's going to minimize the amount of noise that can be created just because that's just how cameras work. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You can't fix that. You're not going to be able to shoot at ISO 800 in a dark room at 1/80th of a second because it's probably going to give you some blur that it's just not going to work.
And your speed is going to be maybe 100, 120.
Right.
But I wouldn't be afraid of a movement. Mm-hmm. If there's something that's really sharp, if there's something that's really sharp and maybe something else is kind of blurry because of movement,
well, that's a story.
I would
there.
Not worry about it.
Yeah, there's a story.
Especially
there.
If it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And again, that's all compositional wise. But yeah, as far as technical, that's the first two things I'd look at. And then in post, as you were mentioning, if you're using Lightroom, I'm still trying to get used to Capture One. But if you're in Lightroom, Lightroom has the noise reduction settings already built in, but it also has a detail slider that helps you maintain the details even though you're trying to reduce the noise. And essentially, you're pushing the noise up, but you're trying to give it a little more sharpness in there. Because a lot of times if you increase noise reduction, your image will get really, really smooth, and that looks really, really fake.
Yeah, you know, exactly right. Yeah, so
you have to try to give it a little bit of sharpness in that.
Definitely fine balance.
And then there's also the aspect of doing selective noise reduction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes, just as you said, that grain looks pretty good, depending on the composition. So inside of Lightroom, I will grab my Wacom tablet. And there are certain areas, like if it's a person, I'll just use my stylus and clean them up from a noise reduction, but leave that little bit of grain elsewhere in the composition and just smooth it out just a little bit, but also make sure the sharpness is there.
If you look at like Stieglitz, some of his images, a lot of times I wouldn't call it grainy, but it's got that noise, if you could call it that,
right.
But it's not.
Right.
It's part of his way of seeing, his way of creating his images.
Yep.
But absolutely gorgeous. So if you could apply aesthetic to digital, you could go, that image could go a long ways.
Yep. I agree. Mm. I agree. And the last question was a lot simpler. They said, what smartphone camera should I get today? And I'm like, yeah, that's easy. That's any of the flagship phones, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have the iPhone. It doesn't even have to be the latest iPhone. Last year's iPhone's camera was great. The OnePlus, great. Samsung's, great. Pixels, great. The last Pixel, great. So just take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's that good now, and they're all are quality devices from a camera standpoint. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very easy. I already answered that to them online because I was like, yeah, that's an easy one. Here, any of them.
Right.
You agree?
I do. And actually, I probably won't switch from iPhone because I've had iPhones for all my iPhone life.
Right, right.
So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Love it. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get ready to head on up out of here for this week. Mr. Wools, this is, again, it's been a great, great, great couple of weeks hanging out with you here at the Twit Studios. And just I really appreciate you being here with me and just chit-chatting. And I'm looking forward to the coming weeks as we get more guests in and different topics and discussions coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're probably just going to be chilling out with your turkey that's wrapped in bacon next week. What else you got coming up that we should be looking out for online?
Well, actually, I have I met this gentleman who has had this really beautiful red Porsche, 1962 red Porsche. And so I went across the street, chatted for a second, and then we actually started conversing about how he had his Porsche refurbished of a gentleman in the East Bay.
Right.
So he and I are going to meet on Monday to talk about how I could go and interview this gentleman.
Yeah.
He's 82 years old, still does the refurbishing of these Porsches.
Oh man, the stories he's going
to
have.
And try to do a video.
Yep.
Still essay on this gentleman, as well as do an interview, because I think that to me would be very, very, very fun.
Oh, dude, the stories you're going to hear from that's going to be tight. Also, I wanted to tell you, make sure you check out 3945 Portraits. That's something that you just
3945. Okay,
3945 Portraits. It's from a photographer named Glenn Dewis over in the UK.
Oh.
And when I saw this project, it made me think of you immediately.
Oh, I would definitely want to see it.
So I'll send you the links on that.
Thank you very much.
He's a heck of a photographer, and hopefully I have him on the show here in January or so. So we'll see.
International.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be great. Me, next week, I'm just going to try to relax and chill a little bit, but I do have some astrophotography scheduled with one of my friends.
Actually, I saw that piece you did the other day.
So this is, well, I've been playing around with the Pixel 4 camera because it has that AI built in that lets you do that. And I did it with the AI version. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also installed a manual camera app where I can actually manually control the settings of the camera and shoot it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come out pretty good considering. I didn't put a lot of effort in it. But it did come out pretty good. So I'm going to try to do some astro next week, if the skies permit, with the phone, as well as taking out the DSLR and going to shoot. At least that's my plan for next week.
Who's our next guest?
Our next guest will be, hopefully it'll be Mr. Brian Manier, but I cannot remember because I'm mixing up the calendar, but I'm thinking it's Brian Manier.
Beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I saw the photograph of his moon shot.
Yeah.
Holy cow!
He's an all around photographer, and you're probably gonna like him too because he's a film guy.
Nice.
Okay. All right, folks, we're gonna call it a week here on Focus on Photography here on twit.tv. Hey, chat room listeners, we really appreciate y'all supporting us and checking out the show each and every week. Do me a favor, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already done so. And even more, hit the share button and share this podcast out with all of your friends and family that just may be interested in the world of photography or just curious and want to get into it a little bit. So hit that share button over there for me. Also, if you haven't checked out our online forums, the Twit community, hop on over to twit.community in your browser and you'll go ahead and log in and set up a little account. And you'll be able to chat with me, the other hosts, Wools, different topics ranging from what shows we're doing, general conversation. I actually like the general conversation in there because people are just chit-chatting, and it's building a community and a nice, happy place on the internet.
I have to say, it's been really wonderful. I've been
it's pretty nice in there. So I've had a lot of fun in there sharing some stuff that I've done and whether it's photography related or totally off the wall stuff. So, yeah. So hop on over to twit.community and check us out. Thank you again to Mr. John A. and Jammer B doing their thing for us here in the studio, making us sound and look good here. Thank you for checking out the other shows here on the network. We have Triangulation, Tech News Weekly, iOS Today, Smart Tech. It's a lot of them. So just go to twit.tv to see all of our list of shows and browse through and see what you like and share those out, too. So we'll record not next week, but we'll be back the following week to record episode 6 of FOP, Focus on Photography. It'll be 9 a.m. Pacific time somewhere along in that area. And so just go ahead and hop into the chat room and join us live on air at live.twit.tv. All right, folks, I am Ant Pruitt. Follow me on Twitter at @Ant_Pruitt. He is Michael Woolsey. That's Hey Wools over on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll catch you guys in the next one. Create and dominate, baby.
Have a great Thanksgiving.